Well, I have to tell you, I've been given some great, great Christmas gifts throughout the course of my life, but in the end, the greatest gifts I've been given by a long shot are all relationships. I mean, the gift I've been given of my wife, Roxanne, whom we've had the privilege of being married for 40 years, now that's a gift, and we don't often think of those in terms of our greatest gifts. We tend to think in terms of, man, that electronic game I got, you know, when my day, Atari first came out, you know, that kind of deal. But the greatest gifts are relationships for me, and not just my precious wife Roxanne, but my kids. I have recently had the privilege of being with my son and daughter-in-law as they had their first child, and to watch my son Blake melt when his baby girl was born was like reliving the experience of the great gift I was given for each of my kids. I mean, I literally became a different human being when God gave me those gifts. It enlarged my heart. It helped me to see with clarity what was truly valuable in this world. And not just my kids, now grandkids. And people take one look at me and they say, how in the world could someone so young have grandkids? And I understand. I look in the mirror every single day and say the same thing. I just don't know how it's possible. But not just one grandkid, but six grandkids. And I'm asking my son and daughter-in-law to deliver 12 more. And I'm hoping that might happen. But seriously, relationships are the greatest gifts God's given me. And it makes sense because these are the gifts that make life worth living. We need houses and we need food and we need clothes. We need many of the devices these days that we get as gifts at Christmas, but none of those define life. I mean, when I take my last breath, I won't be wishing I had the latest iPhone. I'm hoping it'll be iPhone 2030, but I might not make it to that. But that's not what I'll be regretting and missing. I'll be thinking about the relationships I have. And it makes sense because relationships are the currency of life. Relationships are the great value of life. You can have everything and nothing if you have no relationships, and you can have nothing and everything if you have relationships. And just so you know, this is where the Bible becomes extremely relevant. God, in spite of how we live our lives, made it really, really clear that relationships were the stuff of life. He put Adam in a place called paradise. But Adam was all alone, and there he was in the midst of paradise, in the midst of perfection, in the midst of everything, and God said, it's not good that he's alone. And so I'm going to make life what life is about. I'm going to fulfill what life was designed to be for him. I'm going to create for him a partner, Eve. And then together, they will finally know completion and experience life at its best. Relationships are what we need more than anything else on this planet, which is why God summarized the entire truth of all that he's ever given us, and all of the scriptures. He says it all boils down to these two things: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. What's he talking about? The value of life, the quality of life, fullness and meaning and significance in life, all in the end boils down to relationships. It's what it's about. And it's important that we understand that though human relationships are indispensable, we can never experience life as it was meant to be experienced without human relationships. They cannot be what God designed them to be unless we have a relationship with God. A relationship with God is the most vital relationship on the planet, because apart from a loving relationship with God, we can never know what human relationships are supposed to be. In fact, I love 1 John 4:19. It says, we love because he first loved us. It's the only way we can love, is if we've experienced his love. The reason there's so much selfishness and taking and greed in this world is because we're trying to fill our lives with that which can't fill our lives, when all along, all we need is God's love. And when we have it, then we have an outpouring and an overflow of capacity to love others. to not be selfish, but to be serving and to give. And so as we celebrate this Christmas Eve, whether we've understood it before or not, we need to realize that Christmas is the greatest gift ever given. Christmas is. Because a relationship with God is the most essential issue of life, and without a relationship with God, we have nothing, and with a relationship with God, we have everything, and Christmas is what made a relationship with God possible, because you see, all of us have failed and fallen short and sinned, and by our unholiness, separated ourselves from God, but at Christmas, God sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sin and to make life in fullness possible. In fact, Jesus said, "This is the gift of Christmas. I've come to give you life and life in all of its fullness." This is not just a cute holiday. This is not just a neat and special time. This is the foundational issue of life. Christmas means we can have a relationship with God, though not one of us on earth could earn it or deserve it. And yet, as essential as the gift of Christmas is to our lives, the reality is that most of us have never experienced it. Many of us have experienced a religion about God. Many of us have experienced relationships with people who have relationships with God, but most people, and this is what Jesus himself said, have never themselves experienced a relationship with God. In fact, he said, well, broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life, and there are few on that road. I mean, those are the words of Jesus. So the truth, I think, that I'd like to just have a conversation about before we continue in our worship on this Christmas Eve celebration is simply this. A gift is worthless unless it's received. A gift is worthless unless it's unwrapped. All the great gifts I've ever been given were never anything to me until I unwrapped them and received them and put them to use. The greatest gifts I've ever been given, relationships, how worthless would they be if I never ever received the love of my wife, if I never received or unwrapped the love that I have with my kids, if I'd never received or unwrapped the love I can have with my grandkids? What good would it be to have those gifts and never to receive them or unwrap them? They'd be worthless. Which brings us, I think, to the essential question. What's actually involved in genuinely unwrapping the gift of Christmas into our lives? I mean, we've all been taught different things, religiously or irreligiously. Some of us, it's like, you know, we've gone through our catechisms, those of us raised in church settings or our Sunday schools, and those of us not raised in any religious settings have also been taught what's important to us from those who have influence over us. But the reality is, though we can have all these things about God and all these thoughts about God, whether we embrace him or dismiss them, what does it mean to truly unwrap his gift of a relationship into our lives? And for this, I just love to turn to the shepherds. The shepherds in Luke chapter 2 who were just going about their job, doing what they were supposed to do, taking care of sheep in the field by day and by night, experienced the great gift of Christmas. In fact, they were the first ones outside of Mary and Joseph to experience it. And I want to point out to you that if we're going to really experience Christmas, it starts with a divine disruption. I mean, a divine disruption where God creates a disturbance in our life. Whether through good things or bad things, he creates a disturbance, a disruption in our life that gets us thinking outside of the normal pattern. Look at how it happened with the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. I'll start with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby Bethlehem, where the Messiah, Jesus, was being born. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you." I want you to remember that in verse 12. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, we read through that. Many of us have read that time and time again. In our family, I used to sit around the tree. I can imagine how much my kids loved me Christmas morning. They'd get up 4:35 in the morning. We'd say, "Go back to bed. We don't get up that early to celebrate you." You know, we're going to celebrate Jesus, and we have to be awake to celebrate him. And so, you know, we sent our kids back to the bed, you know, and we had to give them ADHD medicine so that they could get through the morning. And no, we didn't. We gave them Valiums. Come on. So didn't do that either. But it's like we made them wait. And then we finally got up, and we made our coffee and all the different things. And then we sat around the tree, and man, most families, they're ripping into those presents, not us. Man, they ripped into those presents, I'd rip into them. What we did is we opened the Bible. These poor little 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds, "No, not the Bible." Oh, no, excuse me, that's adults like you, not our kids. Okay, but it's like we opened the Bible and we read through Luke 2, and many of us have read over and over and over and over Luke 2. But we don't think about how crazy it was for those shepherds. Do you know what a disruption to their lives it was for the angel of the Lord to show up and the glory of God to shine around them? I mean, I'm telling you, if they didn't have Depends on, there was a puddle on the floor. I'm telling you, it was a scary disturbance in their life. Some of you are going, "Is this guy a pastor or the devil himself?" Right? It's like, I want you to know, if you're really ever going to unwrap the gift of Christmas, it doesn't come comfortably through the auspices of traditions and rituals and religion. It comes when God creates a divine disturbance in your life. When God breaks your routine and makes you see things and hear things and feel things and be open to things that you weren't before. And when he breaks our routine, it can cause fear, because it can involve things like, good night, even things like economic realities, losing our jobs or relationships at fray or whatever. It can come through discomfort and confusion, but God breaks our routine so that all of a sudden we're willing to listen, to look, to hear, and then God reveals himself. And that's what happened to the shepherds. God uses people and circumstances, good and bad, but he does it. And then, if you're really going to unwrap the gift of Christmas, you need to know it takes honest exploration. It's not enough that God creates a divine disturbance. A lot of everybody said, "Man, if God showed up like that, then man, I'd do it." God showed up like that for a multitude of people in his day, and the majority of them never unwrapped the gift of Christmas at all. In fact, many of them nailed him to a cross. A divine disturbance, a special revealing of God to us, doesn't change anything. It then has to move to a place where we are willing to do some honest exploration. I mean, look at Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. It says, "When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'That was awesome. Let's deal a poker hand again.'" No, they didn't. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They investigated. They looked. They searched. You see, when God brings a divine disturbance into our life, he wants to engage our minds. And when we do engage our minds and we search and we look and we explore, do you know what he does? He proves himself. He's real. I've never met an honest spiritual explorer who's become an atheist. I've only met honest spiritual explorers who ultimately find that everything he says is true. Some of the most intelligent people on the planet are atheists, but not because they've sincerely and genuinely explored. It's because they've dismissed out of hand with having never put themselves to the exploration. Could that be you? And you know, it was really interesting in Luke 2, verse 12, when it says, the angel announced basically and said, hey, this will be a sign. You'll find a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we read that as if it means nothing. But the angel said, you're going to find a sign, a spiritual sign, a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you need to know, these shepherds weren't just ordinary shepherds in any field. They were outside of Bethlehem. They were Levitical shepherds. They were shepherds who were raising the sheep that would be sacrificed in the place of Israel's sins. And when it was time for the special sacrificial lambs to be born, they would literally carry the lambs into shepherds' caves where they would be protected, and then they'd swaddle those lambs because the sacrifice to be had to be without spot or blemish. They couldn't be hurt in any way. They couldn't be harmed. They had to be protected. And so when the angel told them that the sign would be that this human baby would be lying in a manger in a shepherd's cave, wrapped in swaddling clothes, this was a huge sign for them. The baby would be born in the same place that the sacrificial lambs were born. The baby would be swaddled just like the sacrificial lambs were swaddled. To these shepherds, it became clear and unmistakable as a sign from God that this baby was the always promised and now delivered Lamb of God, given to take away the sins of the world. And isn't that what they announced? A Savior has been born to you. If we, like the shepherds, do just a little honest exploration, who Jesus really is will become absolutely unmistakable to us. Wow. The Savior of the world. Has he become obvious to you? But if we're going to really unwrap the gift of Christmas, once the divine disruption happens and we do the exploration and Jesus proves himself to be true, then the gift still isn't experienced until there's some personal application. In Luke 2:17, it says, when they had seen him, when they had fully seen him, not just seen him visually, but he is the Savior. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one. And they gave themselves to him. Their lives were forever changed. If we're going to unwrap the gift of Christmas, it's more than putting up lights in a tree and buying some gifts and benefiting the economy. If we're going to unwrap the gift of Christmas, then we have to understand it's about experiencing a relationship with God that none of us can earn, that none of us deserve, that we receive when we truly, truly put our trust in him. I mean, John 1 says that, but as many as received him, to them God gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. It's about trusting in him instead of ourselves. He's the Lamb that takes away our sin. He's the one that died on that cross and was buried and rose again. And we need to start trusting him. Have you? Not just singing songs about him. Not just telling stories about him. Trusting him. Are you? Just before I finish the unwrapping process that the shepherds experienced, just before we finish in worship and a candlelight celebration, would you bow with me in a word of prayer just for a moment? And as we bow in prayer, I just want to encourage you to remember there's nothing worse. There's nothing more worthless than a gift given but not received and unwrapped. In this moment, why don't you unwrap the gift in your life? God's using this service as a divine disruption in some of your lives. This is your moment to seek and to explore and now to apply. As I pray, I'm going to encourage you to take my words in this prayer and make them yours to God, not out loud, but in your heart. Just say, Jesus, in this moment, I'm seeing you like the shepherds did. As the Savior come for me, the Lamb of God who died to take away my sin. And so I confess my sin. Put my trust in your death, burial, and resurrection, and I'm receiving you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed with me, I really encourage you, please let us know. There are a couple of ways that you can do it. In the program that you were handed when you came in, there's a connection card, and all you have to do is fill that out, and there's a place where you can say, I prayed with you, and I trusted you, and I really want to encourage you. Let us know that's you, and you can put it in boxes at every door as you leave. And then maybe you're into technology. Well, all you have to do is text us, 313131, and the word Northridge is the text you send, and we'll send you information and a Bible. All you have to do is fill out a little link and get it back to us. Either way, we'd love to know. And finally, if you're newer to us or you'd like to find out more about us, how to take next steps with God, we have a glass room on the main floor here in Plymouth that you can go in, and we'll have a team there and staff there. They'd love to talk to you, connect with you, or even pray with you, okay? But with the shepherds, you know what else happened? Once they experienced Jesus, then they started passionately communicating about him. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Those who truly experience the gift of Christmas tell everybody they can about it. When I got my Yamaha Mini Enduro when I was 10 years old underneath the Christmas tree, I told everybody on the planet that I got a Yamaha Mini Enduro for Christmas. I told people that I would walk through stores, I got a Yamaha Mini Enduro for Christmas! They wanted to put me in a home somewhere. I was crazy about my gift. I was excited about it. You know what's sad? So many of us say we experience the gift of Christmas, but we're afraid to tell anybody about Jesus. Really? Let's passionately communicate them. And finally, you know what they did? Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They experienced enthusiastic celebration. And here's what I want to point out to you. The shepherds returned. It says, the shepherds returned. Where'd they return to? Watching their sheep by night. To shepherds' caves and darkness and dung and all the other junk involved in taking care of sheep. They returned to the same place they had been before. Nothing had changed. To the doing the same things they had been doing before. Their vocations didn't change, but while everything around them was the same and all their responsibilities were the same, everything in them had changed. They were now glorifying and praising God because all the darkness and despair and desperation in their world had been changed by the light and hope and fulfillment of God's promise in them. Too many of us don't celebrate the light because the world is still filled with darkness. The world has always been filled with darkness, but when the light is in you, you celebrate the light because Jesus has come and changed everything in you. That's why we celebrate Christmas. With enthusiastic celebration. And so on this Christmas Eve, the same can be true for each and every one of us. Experiencing God's promise in our lives can fill the darkness of this world with the light of his love and hope, which is why we take candles and we light them and hold them. Because we're saying in us burns the light of that Christmas gift that overpowers any darkness that we'll ever experience in this world. And so we celebrate. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for Christmas, the greatest gift ever given, because it's the gift that allows us to have a relationship with you. And I pray, dear Jesus, that each of us would experience the divine disruption of you pursuing us, that we'd explore and seek and discover that you're actually who you said you were, and that we would personally apply it and trust you. Change us. Fill us with the light of your wonder so that we're always filled with light, even in the world of darkness. And because of that, we'll celebrate you enthusiastically. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
you stand and sing with us?
Have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
As we hope that you enjoyed Christmas Eve at Northridge.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting things coming up in 2020 at Northridge. Specifically for our kids, all elementary age kids are invited to participate in our kids' choir production called Camp Heart and Soul.
And parents, we have not forgotten about you. During the rehearsal times, we are having a study for you called Won't You Be a Neighbor? It's an opportunity for you to learn how to connect with those around you in hopes to love them and serve them well. You know, here at Northridge during the Christmas season, our heart's desire is to really live out our mission, that 16 words. And one of the ways that we do that is through the Christmas offering. It's a special time set aside for us to give generously to initiatives here locally and all around the world in hopes of waking others up to Jesus. So we hope that you'll be a part of that.
And from our Northridge family to yours, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.